welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Unlike my own children and so many of today's youth, I didn't grow up playing sports after school or in any summer leagues. I was an active, busy child, but not one who participated in any real organized form of competition. But after being married to a coach for almost 32 years, I've come to appreciate all the benefits offered to those who are part of a team and play competitive sports, no matter what the level. To be successful requires discipline and sacrifice, and if one is wise, they will take the discipline from that world and apply it to their spiritual one. Because in a world bent on enticing us away from growing deeper in love with Christ, we must ask ourselves, how on earth do we become more godly? Best-selling author and beloved Bible teacher Charles Swindoll says, "The secret lies in our returning to the basic disciplines of Christ. Religion won't cut it. We live in a spiritual hothouse where we talk religious talk, send out religious letters, write religious pamphlets, and do religious Bible studies. It's so easy to become religious instead of godly." The Bible says we must discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. If you really want to be like Christ, then come be a part, as Charles Swindoll provides 8 essential disciplines to take you there in his book, So You Want to Be Like Christ. Swindoll asserts in the process of developing these 8 essential disciplines in your life, your relationship with Christ will flourish, and you will become more godly because they go hand in hand. This powerful book can help you set your feet on the path to godliness, even in the midst of an increasingly godless world. Swindoll shares that he had the great privilege of getting to know the late coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry, while he served on the Dallas Theological Seminary Board. He was a humble man of quiet strength and dignity, and when he chose to say something, an entire room would stop and lean in to hear what he had to say. Once during a breakfast with a group of men, someone asked him how he was able to forge a team out of individuals so that they would win, something he had managed to do every year for 29 years. "I'll never forget his answer," Swindoll recalls. The table grew silent as he paused for a moment and then said, "My job is to get men to do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to achieve." The something that those men wanted to achieve was a victory at the Super Bowl. What they didn't want to do was the grueling work it would take to get them there. Achieving anything requires discipline, determined, deliberate, definable actions with a clear goal in mind. A good coach will help the team achieve its goal by outlining the exercises and motivating the players to stick to the plan. Facilitating and encouraging discipline in order to win, that's what coaching is all about. With your permission, Swindoll writes, I hope to do a little of that in this book. Tom Landry was distinctive in one other respect. In a professional league led predominantly by overweight coaches, many just one cheese fry away from a major heart attack, Coach Landry looked like he could still suit up and play. Well into his 60s, he never asked his team to do anything he wasn't willing to do. What Swindoll wants to share with you in the pages of this book are insights, perspectives, and strategies that he has developed during his years in ministry. Some come naturally now, Swindoll notes. Others still require all the discipline he can muster. But in every case, he can honestly say that he is more consistent now than last year and vastly improved over his rookie season. In short, he suggests nothing in this book that he does not require of himself. Many centuries ago, Paul coached Timothy, his son in the ministry, with these words, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness," 1 Timothy 4:7. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, a Las Vegas sort of city near the Mediterranean coast in present-day Turkey. This city was a busy cosmopolitan crossroad, buzzing with the commerce of a world empire. It was a judicial sanctuary for criminals and hucksters awaiting trial. The Temple of Artemis, one of the wonders of the ancient world, drew worshippers from every corner of the empire, which created a volatile mix of the occult and money. Ephesus was a busy, rich, sensual place to be a Christian. Sound familiar? Paul wanted his son in the ministry to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, as he coached others in the same way he had been coached, nourishing himself on the words of faith and sound doctrine. But the apostle knew by his own experience that it wouldn't be automatic, it wouldn't be easy, it wouldn't come quickly, especially in a place like Ephesus. Timothy would need to discipline himself. Discipline. Such a hard word to hear, isn't it? It drips with sweat, so unpleasant. When I see the word discipline, Swindoll reveals, I think of the punishing workouts that produce results everyone admires and no one enjoys. Then when I see the word applied to the Christian life, I think, oh great, that's all I need, another chore. So in writing a book on the spiritual disciplines, he understands he runs the risk of standing in line behind your dentist who scolds you for not flossing and your cardiologist who callously pokes your expanding gut. I don't want to shame you into walking a spiritual treadmill, Swindoll explains. Nor do I want to convince you that a no-fun checklist of spiritual tedium will somehow pay dividends in eternity. On the other hand, I don't want to suggest that becoming like Christ will be easy. Seeking intimacy with the Almighty requires focus, determination, demands specific changes in attitude and behavior, and will come with a number of heartbreaks and setbacks. I'm not asking you to turn over a new leaf starting with this book. This is merely an invitation to live life as Christ intended, which includes difficult choices, some hard work, and an increasing capacity to enjoy all the goodness God offers to those who come to Him. Paul chose carefully when he selected the Greek term gymnazo, from which we get our word gymnasium. The New American Standard Bible renders it discipline. Paul had in mind a word picture of an athlete in a day of competition. Swindoll prefers to translate it, condition yourself, which raises 2 points. First, conditioning involves preventive training exercises so that an athlete's mind and the appropriate muscle groups learn to work together reflexively and automatically. Conditioning combines endurance and skill. Conditioning turns game-winning abilities into habits. Second, no one can condition someone else. An athlete can seek out a coach to help him with conditioning, but he cannot hire someone to do the work for him. Condition yourself. Check the internet. If you ever find a lease a dieter or a rent a runner, let me know. I want the number, Swindoll quips. Conditioning is between you and God. Notice also that Paul has a goal in mind for the conditioning. Runners condition themselves by running. Weightlifters condition themselves by lifting weights. Each train for a specific skill to compete in a specific event. Paul's event is godliness. Paul uses the Greek word for godliness 10 times in his writings. 8 of them appear in 1 Timothy. Godliness is essential to Paul's advice to Timothy. Ask around the coffee pot at work what godliness means and see what kind of answers you get. Some picture a monk removed from the challenges of the world, studying, praying, meditating, humming hymns behind the walls of the monastery. Others see a squeaky clean, Bible-toting do-gooder, naive, moralistic, annoyingly innocent. Yet none of those present an accurate picture. A godly person is one who ceases to be self-centered in order to become God-centered. Christ became a man, and as a result of his earthly ministry, we see how God intended for all humans to behave. Jesus is our unblemished example of godliness. Therefore, a godly person is a Christ-like person. Our goal as Christians is to become like Christ. Swindoll notes some well-meaning, yet tragically misguided leaders seem to think that becoming like Christ means that we should strive to be perfect like Christ. For them, the disciplines are like push-ups and sit-ups, spiritual exercises to bring their body and mind into submission. While mastering the body is important, and spiritual calisthenics will make the soul stronger, these are minor issues when it comes to the Christian view of spiritual activity. If you really just want to have more control over your lust or become more serene, any meditative religion will do. Christianity and its goal, Christ-likeness, have a person in mind, Christ. What sets Christian spiritual activity apart from all other religions is the knowledge of Christ as their goal, not moral perfection, although you will become more moral, not tranquility, although your life will become remarkably more peaceful. And because of the grace you have in Christ, the disciplines will do nothing to make you more accepted by the Father. Further, you cannot be more accepted than you already are in Christ, since He has already done it all for you. So why exercise spiritual disciplines? To know Jesus Christ, Swindoll asserts. Spiritual disciplines are simply a means by which you come to know Him experientially. By imitating Him, by sharing His experiences, by living life as He lived it, allowing the Holy Spirit to shape you by the disciplines from the inside out, you will become more like Him. Don't believe me? Swindoll asks. Look at how Paul describes his spiritual activity to the church in Philippi in this key verse. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, in the same way, come to know the power flowing from His resurrection which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death. Philippians 3:10. When you pray, pray so that you may know Him. When you seek to simplify, do it as a means of knowing Him. When you surrender or behave with humility or sacrifice, do it with the sole purpose in mind to know Him. Swindoll wants you to keep in mind that each of the 8 essential disciplines that he presents to help us become more like Christ is both a means and an end. Each is a distinctive mark of godliness that Christ modeled with perfection, and for that reason, each is worth imitating. Do them, Swindoll exhorts, and you will be like Christ, but they are also a means to knowing Him. For instance, intimacy with the Almighty, the subject of the book's first chapter, is the focus of all Christian activity, including those beyond the handful he discusses in this book. But intimacy is also the means by which we achieve our ultimate objective, transformation to His likeness, which is our primary goal. If you want to be like Christ, that kind of godliness won't just happen by hanging around the church, or by thinking godly thoughts 3 or 4 times a day, or learning a few verses of Scripture. It will take more, much more. Disciplining ourselves will require the same kind of focused thinking and living that our Master modeled during His brief life on earth. Everything starts in the gymnasium of the soul. Since this is true, let us commit ourselves to the 8 spiritual disciplines presented within the pages of today's Spotlight. To borrow from the words of Tom Landry, these disciplines will enable us to do what we don't want to, in order to achieve what we've always wanted to achieve. Let's go on a brief spiritual pilgrimage together, Swindoll writes. Bring back in your mind your first day as a brand new believer in Jesus Christ. Return to that time when your love was budding and emerging into full bloom. Remember when you would speak of Christ and it would ignite your heart with exciting bursts of zeal and delight. Remember when prayer was new and untried, and you felt its power as you communed with the Almighty. Remember when the Bible was that delicious book of truth, filled with delectable insights you had never known before. Remember when sharing Him with someone else represented the highlight of your week. Remember when your devotion was consistent, fulfilling, enriching, and deep. What happened to all of that? When you ponder these questions, not just in passing, but taking time to concentrate, as you ponder them, Perhaps you will feel like one of the Ephesian Christians whom Jesus urged. Remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deed you did at first. Revelation 2:5. Remember, growth is change, but not all change is growth. Your spiritual life may be in need of some major changes. A new perspective is essential in order to rekindle that first love kind of relationship in which God is real again, where you and He are on much closer speaking terms. The kind of intimacy that does not require a stirring message from the pulpit and doesn't depend on a great worship event or concert, but simply exists as part of your natural walk. Distance from God is a frightening thing. God will never adjust His agenda to fit ours, Swindoll reminds us. He will not speed His pace to catch up with ours. We need to slow in order to recover our walk with Him. God will not scream and shout over the noisy clamor. He expects us to seek quietness, where His still, small voice can be heard again. God will not work within the framework of our complicated schedule. We must adapt to His style. We need to conform to His way if our lives are to be characterized by the all-encompassing word, godliness. Godliness is still our desire as believers, isn't it? But the great question is how? How busy people living fast-paced and complicated lives, facing relentless pressures, consistently walk with God? Whatever is included in the answers, we can be assured that they will not come naturally, automatically, quickly, or easily. Everything around us is designed to make us dissatisfied with our present condition. So how do we pull it off? How in a world bent on distracting us from going deeper in our first love, always enticing us to pursue the pointless, do we find closeness with God? How do you and I become more godly? This question led Swindoll back to a word that he used more in his early days in ministry than he had in recent years. The word is discipline. The secret lies in our returning to the spiritual disciplines. First, you must discipline yourself for intimacy with God. Listen now to Paul advise Timothy, his son, in the faith. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of the Word of God in prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine, which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. In other words, Timothy, get serious about your walk with God. It's time to step up, young man. Godliness won't just happen. Swindoll will show us that we must discipline ourselves for intimacy with God, and that intimacy with God cultivates wisdom, and with wisdom then comes Christlikeness. But he also reminds us wisdom is cultivated on God's terms, not ours. God often does His best work in us when He catches us by surprise and introduces the change that is completely against our own desire. Intimacy with God must be intentional. Swindoll uses two important terms that need defining as we embark on this road to godliness. The first is intimacy, the second is discipline. Intimacy is the state of being intimate, belonging to, or characterizing one's deepest nature. Intimacy is marked by a very close association, contact, or familiarity. Relationally, intimacy is a warm and satisfying friendship developing through long association on a very personal and private level. How distant are you from God right now? Has your closeness with Him chilled? Could that be why your worship has been so perfunctory? You sing songs while thinking about something else? Are you so critical of your brothers and sisters in God's family that you sound just like an unbeliever, even though you know your place after death will be with God in heaven? Paul would respond this way, "My determined purpose is for that never to be true of me. I will pursue a relationship with him that becomes so close, he and I will walk consistently together through whatever pressures occur. That's intimacy. That's our goal." Now for the second word, discipline. This is the means for having intimacy with God. Discipline is the training that corrects and perfects our mental faculties and molds our moral character. Discipline is control gained by enforced obedience. It is the deliberate cultivation of inner order. So how are intimacy and discipline connected? If intimacy is the goal, discipline is the means to that end, Swindoll declares. Remember, intimacy is never natural, automatic, quick, or easy. Show me someone who is intimate with God, and I'll show you someone who can be compared to a beautiful garden without the weeds. Because all gardens grow weeds, you can bet someone is taking the time to cultivate good plants while rooting out the bad ones. People who are close to God cultivate a personal intimacy with Him like a good gardener cultivates beautiful flowers. So intimacy is both a discipline and a goal, much like humility, prayer, and sacrifice, and any of the other disciplines. Our great tendency in this age is to increase our speed, to run faster, even in the Christian life. In the process, our walk with God stays shallow, our tank runs low on fumes. Intimacy offers a full tank of fuel that can only be found by pulling up closer to God, which requires taking necessary time and going through the effort to make it happen. Remember, Paul said that his determined purpose, the discipline, was that he might know God more intimately and personally, the goal. Discipline is the key. After spending many months thinking about this, Swindoll arrived at 8 essential disciplines that lead to godliness. They are intimacy, simplicity, silence and solitude, surrender, prayer, humility, self-control, and sacrifice. Notice that the first 4 disciplines have to do with getting rid of something, creating room in your life. The next 4 contribute vitality and authenticity for your spiritual life. We have already seen the value of the first essential, intimacy. Of course, Swindoll acknowledges there are many other disciplines we could consider, and we could credibly argue for a shorter or longer list. He doesn't claim to have a definitive path to intimacy with the Almighty. But he can say that after 40 years of ministry, having prescribed these to others, and having applied them to his own life, these 8 disciplines fall into the category of essentials. Cultivate these disciplines, and your relationship with the Lord will flourish, and even more significantly, these will become the path that will lead you to becoming more like Christ. So You Want to Be Like Christ by Charles Swindoll can be found online and is currently available in paperback, hardback, and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf, none of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all writings and teachings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.